Hello, and welcome to A Nerdy Book Club. My name is Polly, and this week we are talking about Dark Rise. As always, this podcast is marked explicit, meaning I sometimes swear or talk about sensitive subjects. If you have any worries about content warnings, you can check the show notes below. And the best way to find us on social media is to go to our website, Cauldron Cakes and Wine. We have everything linked there, all in one place. That makes it the best place to find all of our social media. If you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, or feelings about anything we say in this episode or any other, you can find us on social media on Instagram and send us a DM, or you can send us an email to cauldroncakesandwine@gmail.com. And as always, there are spoilers ahead. I will be talking about the Dark Rise book, and I will be spoiling the ending. I was so excited to read this book. I've been eyeing it up for a while in the bookstore. The cover for this one and for the second one are just so, like, beautiful. They are so nice. I love them. I feel like we have moved into, you know, this, like, new, phase of book covers for fantasy novels. You know, we went through the phase of, like, everything having a flower thing behind it, and now they're all very, like, dark and moody and have, like, a person on it. You know what I'm talking about. If you read enough fantasy novels, you'll know what I'm talking about. But this cover I absolutely adored. Oh my god, it is so, like, it makes you so intrigued to read the book. And the book did not disappoint. Just spoiler alert, I loved this book. I'm kind of on a roll, you know, like getting out of my funk when it comes to having read Throne of Glass, Throne of Glass, Tower of Dawn, that book out of the Throne of Glass series. It really fucked me up a bit, but I've read back-to-back two really good books, so this week's episode and next week's episode, they're going to be positive ones because I just had a really good time reading them, so go me. We're just going to jump straight into it. This starts off with a prologue. It shows James wakes someone up named Marcus, who is captive, and Marcus begs him, like, not to kill him, and then we skip ahead 3 weeks. We see a man named Will, and he's working in a warehouse. He's looking in this mirror, and the reflection changes, and he sees a woman in it. And he thinks that she's actually looking at him. And then someone comes in, he kind of snaps out of it, and it goes back to normal. Will is being hunted by some men, and there is a man who is with them, and his name is Matthew, and he says he'll help, and he says that they're, like, on his trail. He gives him something and then tells him to show it to the stewards, and that they will, like, know what to do with it. This book does an incredible job of just, like, hooking you in right away. Like, this little bit at the beginning was so well done and so good. It's honest to God, like, such one of the best hooks to the start of a, like, fantasy novel that I have read in quite a while. You know, we've talked about this before, how it's really important, the start of a fantasy novel, you know, like, a lot of times authors will mess this up. They jump into world building way too quickly, and I just thought this book did such a good job. You know, we've got these sort of characters who are connected. We know that Marcus is a steward and that he needs to find, you know, Will needs to find the stewards. So, like, you're given this, like, little nuggets of information that these people are sort of connected and that there's this, like, whole thing that's happening that you're getting, like, the smallest little bit of an intrigue about. It's so good. You know, we had just enough information to be interested, but not enough to, like, keep you wanting more. Also, so it's the medallion that Will is given. The girl in the mirror, she's wearing one as well, which was pretty intriguing to me. He finds Matthew dead, and then men with an S branded into their skin come to find him, and they catch him. Next, we see from a girl named Violet's perspective, and she is watching someone get the brand. They all work for a man named Simon, and she wants to get the brand one day too. We learn that Violet is, she's this man, the man who was getting the brand, his sister, her half-sister, she's a bastard. And her mom is, or well, I guess not her actual mom, but the mother in this family is just so horribly mean to this child. stewards attack the boat that they're on, and they call Tom a lion, and he ends up fighting them. Violet hides down in the bottom of the ship, and she sees Will hidden there, chained up. Two stewards come down, and they say that they will help Will, and then someone tries to shoot them, and one of the stewards jumps in front of Violet and saves her life. Tom comes down and there's another big fight. Something breaks open and there's this like evil magic sword thing in it. I know that's like not the greatest explanation. There is a magic name for it later on, but I forget what it is because that's the person that I am. I don't know how I felt about Violet at first. I didn't love her perspective in the first couple chapters that we see her, but I really turned that thought process around, but we'll get there. They all get out, but Violet goes back into the ship. She goes and she gets Will, and he has the magic sword, and she tells him that he needs to drop it, and she pulls his chains off because she realizes that, like, she is also a lion like Tom is. And as I mentioned before, like, once again, just, like, so good at, like, slowly uncovering the world building. It really feels like you're kind of, like, figuring this stuff out at, like, in an organic way. It doesn't feel like there's no internal, like, huge monologue explaining this shit. It's not like some big monologue that someone's telling you all of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're discovering it with the characters in this organic way, and it's just so good. We meet these two sisters who are ready to be married off. Catherine is being married to a man, and she sees someone with an aspirant, like an Esperne mark, who is in the house. And so automatically we are led to believe that she is being married to Simon. Will and Violet learn that Simon has been tracking a boy. She learns that Simon might not be as good as she thinks he is. And this was when I started to like turn it around for Violet, because I think in my head I was just so worried that she was going to be really, really obsessed with Simon, and that was, you know, she came around very quickly to the fact that Simon is like not good. And I think that was the thing that I was going to struggle with, was if she couldn't see that, and she just, because as a reader, you can so clearly tell that Simon is not a good guy. And so if one of the main characters' POVs is like not noticing that the like bad guy in the story is bad, that would be really frustrating for me as a reader. So I was glad that it very quickly turned. And so basically the stewards think that Violet is also one of the captives, just like Will. And we learn that Simon works for the Dark King and wants to bring him back again. Will gives Justice, who's the steward that they're with, he gives him the medallion, and then Stuart gives it back to him and says that he should show nobody. Violet sees men dredging the lake for the sword, and then she, oh my gosh, okay, is this like the most heartbreaking thing ever? Okay, so she sees Simon and her father talking, and he says really mean things about her, and she basically learns that he has been keeping her alive so that Tom can kill her, because for Tom to reach his full like power as a lion, he has to kill her in order to get that. So that's why he's been keeping her alive. And she learns that basically her whole life, that he has just been keeping her alive for this reason, and the only time, like the times he sticks up for her, all of that is just because he is basically raising her to be killed. And I just thought that was so fucking heartbreaking. I really felt for that character in that moment. Will overhears this as well, and he's like, look, just come with me. He takes her, and they're gonna go back to be with the stewards. I really liked the writing style in this. It was like right up my alley. I feel like this could go up there with like my favorite books. Like I could easily put this next to some of my favorite books, and it would like it holds up. James shows up on the boat, and he isn't happy that Will was taken, and he says that he's gonna find him. I'm sorry. I love Will and James so much. James finds them pretty quickly, and Will and Violet, they have to escape him, and they learn that the remnants are chasing them. I'm sorry, guys. You know I can't fucking, like, I don't know why I have a podcast. I can't fucking talk. You know what though, like, it's so much worse. I work at a job now where I have to answer phones, and I have to like read information off a screen to people all the time, and I feel like by the end of the day it's like so hard for me to talk. Like, I feel tongue-tied. It makes podcasting really hard. Anyways, okay, so where was I? The rent They're being chased. They are being chased by Simon's guards, basically. I don't know why I'm laughing so much about this. Okay. Get it together, Polly. Violet goes with Justice, and Will goes on his own. They end up splitting up, and Will rides off, and he manages to make it to the Stewart's land, and he tells them of Justice and how he was sent there. They see his medallion, and he tells them it was his mother's, and they take Will into the hall. What I will say is that like I said, I was not sure about Violet's character at the start of this, but this was by the point in the book where not only had I turned around, like, started to be like, okay, I like her, like, she's cool, but now I was like, I actually really like her as a character, and I'm glad that she didn't have this, like, constant obsession with her brother and Simon that continued to be too much throughout this plot. I actually think this book, all of the POVs that we see are extremely well-rounded. There was, aside from my initial, like, apprehension about Violet's character, like, later on in the book, there's not really a POV that I was like, I don't really want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to, like, be inside this person's POV. Will speaks to the older Stewart, who says he doesn't know what he is, but that he can stay, and that there's going to be hard work ahead of them. Violet and Justice meet him as well. They make it in. And I found it kind of interesting how they make such a big deal about Will coming in, because no one without Stewart blood has, like, ever come into the halls, apparently. But then Violet just, like, strolls right in and no one questions it. I found that kind of interesting, especially since she's actually, like, the opposite of them. Like, she's the bad guy in their mind. Like, lions are bad, right? And Stewarts are good. But they don't question Violet's presence, like, at all. Will sees the Tree of Light, but it has no light. And the woman says that what Will saw in the mirror was when that woman died, that's when the, like, light left the tree, basically. Will learns that he has the blood of the lady, and the blood of the lady is the only thing that can stop Simon. And we learn that James is a reborn. He's not human. He is very powerful and working for the Dark Lord. Basically, like, yeah. So he's sort of supposed to be evil. Justice takes Violet to train, and he tells her that the Stewarts have a partner always, and that, you know, she could be that for Will. So basically, Will is being trained in magic, and Violet is being trained to fight. While they're here, we learn a bunch of the Stewart lore. We learn about the Shadow Kings and how they were hidden in stones. And Will just seems to be unable to do magic during this time, and he's worried that he might not ever be able to. The Stewarts need to get Marcus back, but they haven't been able to, and Violet thinks that she might be able to help. So she's going to go home and sneak back in and find him by herself. So we catch up with Catherine again. We haven't seen her character in a while. And, you know, the whole time I was kind of trying to put together, like, why is Catherine's character important? And later we find out, oh boy, do we find out why her character is important. But, like, you know, the whole time it was happening, I was like, I get that she's, like, gonna be Simon's wife, but, like, what else? Like, there has to be something else here as to, like, why she's so important that we're getting, like, a POV of this character. But her character also, I was like, there's nothing to connect it. It doesn't, I don't get it. And boy, is this like artfully done, because she's so unassuming. And then we'll talk about what happens later. Okay. but yeah, like I said, I just didn't have a good read on her. I was just wondering what we were going to see from her character. Will goes and talks with her, and she tells him that Lord Crenshaw found the sword when he was like searching the water. And Violet goes home, sees her brother and father. She's listening to her brother and one of his friends, Devin, and she learns that Simon is sending James out to do something. Her dad finds her and he locks her in this like cement room, which is horrifying. This is my literal nightmare, to get like locked somewhere that like I can't get out of. I have an issue with like confined spaces. Like even when I'm like very small space. Oh my god. Okay. You know, like on TikTok, the people who do like spelunking or like cave exploring, where they're like in between, like they're like, I have to suck in my breath to get through this crack. I'm like, oh, I have so much anxiety for this person. Like, there is nothing I would like to do less in the world. And I know being trapped in a cement room is not the same as fucking caving, but like, come on. Okay. One time when I was at summer camp, the guy, like I would work spring, and there was like a group of guys that I worked with. They would like pull pranks on me or just like fuck with me sometimes. Like it was a very like friendly thing. This wasn't like malicious or mean. And so I actually have another story. Okay. But so the original story that I was going to tell was that there was this like weird cabin, and the door had like a latch on the outside. So I was inside the cabin doing something for a minute, and then they locked me in it by like closing that latch on the outside. And so I couldn't get out through the door, and they were only going to leave me in there for like a couple of minutes or whatever. And we were all going to laugh about it. But I was like, no fucking way. I'm not getting locked in this cabin. So I popped the window out and jumped out the window, and like, they turned around and they were like, what the fuck? How did you get out of there? Because I just like couldn't handle being locked in that cabin. Okay, the second story is that one time, this one guy, we all lived in like a big communal like cabin, and I lived in this cube because I was like, I think I was the only girl, or there was like one other girl. And so when I went to go and shower, which the shower houses are not in the cabin, they're like at another area of camp. So I came back, and the side of the cabin that I like lived on, he had like put up all these like mattresses and the barriers, and unscrewed every single light in the cabin. So it was pitch black because it was nighttime, and like at camp, everything is really dark at night because you're in the middle of the forest. So it was like pitch black, and there was like a strobe light in the corner of the room. So I like literally I'm trying to get through this like maze of like shit that they've like barricaded around the room. And finally I get into like the cube area where I live, and there's a computer and a strobe light, and it says don't blink, like from Doctor Who, you know, like the weeping angels from Doctor Who, that like if you blink they'll like kill you. Literally, like, it was terrifying. Anyways, okay. I mean, we all got a good laugh out of it, but yeah. I literally, like, left the cabin and was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Back to the book. Back to what we're actually talking about here. So this character, Louisa, lets her out because she tells her that she's going to leave and never come back. And this fucking bitch, Louisa, does not like her. So she's like, okay, see ya. Violet and Will, they meet up again, and they go back to the Stuarts, and they're like trying to tell them, like to give them a warning, right, about what's going on. But they found out that Violet is a lion, and they all kind of really quickly turn their back on her. And I thought that was super, super shitty, because they really had embraced her really with like open arms. And it was like, she has been sort of, you know, cast away from her family, and now these people who took her in are being like assholes too. And I just really like, it sucked. And You know what? I actually don't understand this. How did they find out that Violet was a lion? I don't remember there being an answer for that. Huh. 1 second. I just text my friend to see, so we'll get back to that. Hopefully she can remember. Anyways, so they basically send both of them into a cell, and Cyprian comes and breaks them out. Up until now, like, Cyprian was a character that I didn't really care about, and then just suddenly, like, bam, he ended up being, like, pretty important to the plot. Oh, my friend texted and said, I honestly can't remember. Okay, well, not helpful. I can't remember either. Okay, so Will goes into the shop and a bunch of stuff happens. And anyways, so he ends up running into, like, he sees James. And he thinks that, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so he thinks that James's extraordinary beauty presses in like a knife. It hurts him. Like, he's so beautiful, it hurts. Okay, sure thing. Okay. We also learned that there is this like really big dark backstory for the Stuarts where they have to drink from this cup when they are when they become a Stuart, when they take their oath, right? And basically this cup, it makes them so that they will eventually turn into Shadow Kings. So they take the oath that they will kill themselves before that can happen. This is why they work in pairs, so that if your partner is turning and they slip up, then they will kill their partner, okay? So this is why Simon took Marcus, so that he can wait until Marcus turns into a Shadow King and then use him. Will goes to talk to James and learns that Simon tried to brand him, but it would never take. All of the interactions between James and Will are just so fucking good. Like, I wish there were, like, more of them, but I think that that's, like, the point, you know? Like, that's what's leaving us on, like, our, you know, that's what's leaving us feeling like we want more and need more, is because they are sort of sparse throughout the book, but when they do happen, it's so good. Oh, man. So, as they're talking, Will thinks that James was in a locked door to a world of secrets, unattainable and alluring. Oh, damn. Like, it's so fucking good. I think there's something about this book that kind of reminds me of Shadow and Bone. Like, the vibes are really similar. Like, really, really similar. And I think it does definitely pull from, you know, things like Lord of the Rings. And there's a lot of Harry Potter names in this, like James, and I think there was even a Euphemia, there's like Cyprian, so yeah, there's a lot of influences from other books in this, but somehow it still manages to feel really unique, despite sort of pulling these elements from other things. Justice apologizes to Violet, and thank God, because like, she really does just deserve an apology for everything. Like, she deserves an apology from the entire fucking world. They're going to basically fight to get Marcus back. They're all rallying the troops. Will tells Violet and Cyprian that they should sneak out while the attack is going on. And I just love how they're always like, yeah, okay, you guys can do whatever you want, but we're gonna go over here and hatch a plan. Like, they really love to just sneak off and do whatever the fuck they want. Will goes to talk to Catherine. He kisses her, and when he kisses her, there's this like magic, and there's like a hawthorn tree, and there's like bright light, and he's trying to get her to let them into the house, but she won't. Once again, I was so confused about Will and Catherine and their relationship. I was just confused about Catherine in general, but also their relationship. I was like, is this going to be a love triangle? What is going on here? There's an attack on the hall, and basically everybody is killed. All of the Stuarts are killed. The three go through, and they find everybody dead. There's it carved into one of the doors. It says, he is coming. The elder Stuart, she survived, and I guess Grace is there. I didn't know who Grace was until that moment. I'm not going to lie. I couldn't remember. But anyways, so the elder Stuart, she's dying though. And so they go and they talk to her. She basically gives like each one of them a pep talk. And then Cyprian has to kill her because she's going to turn. Grace shows them that, you know, she has the cup of the Stuarts, and then they burn all the dead bodies, which was really gross. I just kept thinking about how bad that would smell. I also found it like a little bit unrealistic, the idea that there was like, what, 3-4 of them? I don't know. Would they realistically be able to clean all of that up in a way that would be like they could still live there, you know? Ew. I don't know. I don't want to think about it. But anyways, that's not what we need to think about. So when they go to check the like prison, they find that James is gone. I was like, fuck man, this book is so good. Honestly, reading this and then I read like Legendary, like back to back. Legendary is the second book in the Carvel series. I was like, thank God, this is like revitalizing my like love of reading and my excitement to actually read after reading, you know, just fucking that stupid Throne of Glass book. Oh my God, Tower of Dawn, it was so bad. Okay, but we're not going to get back into that, I promise. we are putting Tower of Dawn in the past and we're leaving it there. We learned that Devon was a unicorn. You can see where his horn was cut off. It's really gross. Is it Devon? No, Devon had a horn of, he has the horn and he gives it back to, who is it though? I don't have it in my notes. I'm sorry. I did a bad job writing the notes here. I don't know who, I can't remember who the unicorn was. I can't remember if it's Devon or if it's someone else, but someone, one of them is a unicorn. He had his horn cut off and I think it's really gross. And basically he gets the horn back, but he's like, I can never put it back on, but at least I have it. So sad and gross all at the same time. So when whoever he is that I did not write the name down of, goes home, he sees, a man named Robert. And okay, so Devon is the one with the horn. Robert is the one who gives him the horn back, I think. I don't know. Okay. Anyways, Robert gets killed in the end. That's what happens. Will and Violet talk about how he's the unicorn. I just keep writing he. And they realize he would be there. He would have been there when the Dark King fell. Okay, cool. He was there. Cool. Good job, Polly. Good job taking notes. Okay, so I really love this book, but I do feel like there was a bit too much setup, just ever so slightly. I think it makes sense because this is the first book in a series, but it was at this point in the book that I was like, okay, we're setting a lot of things up. Like a lot of things are being set up, but I think I need a bit more happening. And I think that's a bit of a nitpick because I did really love this book. And I think by the end, I didn't mind that there was this little bit of a lull, but I definitely did feel that there was this sort of ever so slight lull right before things got just like crazy and chaotic. So it's okay, you know? They go and see James and he's looking for something and an old man has it. These notes, I think, you know what I think happened was like, the book was just like, like more and more was just starting to like build up to this like crescendo that I was just like, my notes just got less and less like coherent. So I do apologize for that. Oh gosh. Violet, Cyprian, and James try to attack James, and they end up getting the manacles on him. And we learn that what the old man... Oh, okay, I remember this. Okay, so this old man, he's, like, got this thing that he's, like, obsessed with, and it's, like, kind of draining him, right? And it's actually a collar, and it's a collar that will control James. So James begs them, like, don't give it to his father, and Will ends up giving him the collar. So instead of capturing him and, like, making him wear the collar, he gives Will the collar and sets him free, basically. Catherine comes to them with her, like, younger sister, and she says she overheard Simon talking that he needs blood to open the stone. Catherine, question mark, you know, and we are going to get to the point where she's no longer a question mark, but seriously, I was like, Catherine, question mark, you know? And more than anything, I was just super confused about the relationship between her and Will. Like, I was like, is this a thing? Because I thought, like, Will and James were going to be a thing. Is this a love triangle, like a bisexual love triangle, which, like, you know that I think, like, during the era of love triangles, if, like, people weren't so, like, homophobic, the bisexual love triangle would have been a thing, very much so. But I don't know that I'm always, like, here for it. And this was a moment where I was like, please don't make these people have a love triangle. I don't want that. I honestly, because I think it's just because I really wanted, like, Will and James to be a thing, you know? Anyway, so Will sneaks out and a remnant comes to see him, and Will kills it to take a gauntlet from it. He goes back to his house where Simon is, and he takes out the black sword, but like Simon tries to use the black sword on him, but it doesn't kill him, and Will ends up stabbing him and tells him that he realized that he's not blood of the lady, which is the big fucking twist of this book. And at this point, I still did not understand the twist. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? What do you mean you're not the blood of the lady? Then who is? Violet ends up, she wakes up and she finds that Will is gone, and she knows that he's gone to look for Simon. And basically the wards on the hall, they are under attack, and they think that it's one of the Shadow Kings. And they find Catherine is... like she went and left to go after Will, basically. Her younger sister Elizabeth trips, and the tree lights up, and we realize that she is blood of the lady. And I was like, oh shit, I was not expecting that. Still did not understand the twist yet. Still was like, what? That's weird. How is that possible? Why does she have magic? Does Will have... He's done magic things. What's going on? So slow on the uptake here. Violet is going to fight the Shadow King so that the others can get out, and she thinks she's going to die in the process. Will is Simon's son. I had to be explicitly told this. If this book did not explicitly write that in there, I would still not understand what was going on. So basically, Will is there with Catherine. She's there now, and there is a Shadow King coming for her because she is blood of the lady. Once again, I understood. They said the sister was blood of the lady. In my head, I was like, didn't connect that meant Catherine was as well. But, like, holy shit, what a good twist. Like, when you go back in your head and think about the whole book, like, everything makes sense. It all lines up. There were so many signs, and I was so stupid and so blind, and I missed them all. But, you know, whatever, it's fine. Like, when her and Will kiss, and then, like, the tree lights up, that's because she is the blood of the lady, not because he was. So I just thought this was such a good plot twist. Oh my God. Will is able to stop the Shadow King, and Catherine ends up taking out the dark sword, and it ends up killing her.
Back with Violet, she fights the Shadow King, and she uses the lion's shield that we saw earlier in the book, and she's able to actually fight the Shadow King. James shows up, and he says to Will that Will is the only one who'd ever set him free, and that he's there to follow him. And we now know that Will is reborn, right? So he, they actually have this whole history together that Will is now aware of, but James doesn't know about. And then that's it. Like, holy fucking shit. Holy fucking shit. My final thoughts are that this book was a wild ride. The twist at the end was wild. I loved this. It was such a good read, and I just can't wait to read the next one. I really, you know, it was just staring at me for so long in the bookstore, and I'm just so glad that I finally got to read it, and I'm so glad that it was just this pleasurable to read. I loved it. So if you want to find us on social media, you can go to our website, cauldroncakesandwine.net. We have all of our social media linked there in one spot. If you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, or feelings about anything I said in this episode or any others, you can find us on Instagram and send us a DM, or send us an email at cauldroncakesandwine@gmail.com. I hope that you have a good day, afternoon, or evening. Whenever you're listening to this, I hope you're well. Bye.